Good morning, everyone. And in, to make a little bit of a change, our invocation this morning is Psalm 103, taken from the New International Version. It is a Psalm of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness is with their children's children, those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works. Everywhere is his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And now, welcome. Welcome to worship at Alamo United Methodist Church. It is so good to see you all here this morning. And let us pray together our opening prayer, which will be, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for gathering us here, and we pray, Lord, that you be with each of us and help us to find all that is said in this pulpit this day and know that it's coming from you. In your holy name we pray. And now, I'm actually going to hush for a moment, and let us say, pass the peace to one another, but let's don't make it a daily thing.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Give us a heart like yours, Lord, to be light in the darkness and truth in the chaos. Lead us to others who want to learn and grow in their faith, and give us the courage to discipline others as we have been disciplined. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
It's time of reflection and offering. We acknowledge our weaknesses and limitations, knowing that it is through our struggles that we learn humility and dependence on you. As we bring forth our gifts, may we also bring our vulnerabilities, trusting in your grace to transform our weaknesses into strengths for the work of your kingdom. In Christ's name, amen.
recording. This week's scripture is Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and John 16 through 33, making disciples, reproducing followers of Christ. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." John 16, 33. "I have told you these things so that in me you have peace. You may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Stephen.
There's something else the technician needs to do. Okay. Let us prepare our hearts for the message that the Holy Spirit has given for each of us today. Bow with me. Precious Lord, we come listening, we come thirsting for your word. We ask, Lord, that you open our hearts and minds so that we may absorb your message today. Give Pastor Ted strength and courage to put aside all that is him and take on all that is you. Let his words be your words, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And let us take those words to heart. Let them burn within us so that as we leave this place, we can't help but spread your word to the world. These things we ask in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. While the children are coming, I want to correct a mistake that I made last night on my phone bite. Those of you who heard that phone bite, I told you that it was an old phone bite about Miss Sandy. Actually, I selected the wrong message last night, the other night. So anyway, please keep her in your prayers. But the good news is that she is off the ventilator, and she's on a BiPAP machine. And they're doing that so they can strengthen her lungs. So please keep them in prayer, and continue to pray for the family.
I love your shirt. And you have a birthday this week? How exciting. What are you going to do for your birthday? You're a little shy. It's okay. We won't talk about it anymore. I don't want to put you in a spotlight. But I did bring some things. Do y'all know what these are? Where would you get these from? The mail. So, do you get mail? Have you received mail before? Or your parents get mail? Sometimes it's good things. You haven't. Telling on your sister? That's okay. But if you've ever received mail, sometimes it's good. Like if you're expecting a package from somebody. Yeah? And so you get a package sometimes that comes in this form. So mail comes in different forms. Sometimes they're bills. It's not good mail. Don't want that, but you still get them. Sometimes they're cards, right? So there's different ways that we could get mail. Sometimes they're paychecks. Yes, that's a plus. That's like cha-ching, yes. Want that. Okay. But today we're talking about being a follower. We're continuing talking about being a follower. So I wanted to compare it to the mail. What does this do? When people send it to us, what are they giving us? Some kind of information. They're spreading it, right? So there's different ways we can spread information. And so our job is to spread information and make followers. And so sometimes we can spread the information by inviting people to church with us so they can become disciples like we are. Or sometimes we can just give them a message. What are other ways that we could make disciples?
Teach them.
Do you want to talk? How else can we make disciples? Yeah, like that. That's a good one. So we can even smile at people, right? Because people watch the way that we live, and then they want to say, they are doing something good. I want to be like them, right? So even a smile can sometimes help people, right? We never know what people are going through. So just like if the mailmen or the mail ladies, they quit giving us mail. So that's a form of communication. That's kind of like old technology, right? Now you have emails, people FaceTime. So there's different ways of giving information. So we are faithful to God and we make more followers, and it is a beautiful thing. This is not just a task that we do, but it's something that we get to do. It's a blessing to have an opportunity to take, to be part of helping God bring the world into relationship with Him. People need to get these, the good news messages. Let's deliver them, all right? All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Father, help us obey the commandment that you gave us to go and make disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, have a good week. Happy birthday.
Good morning. We want to continue. This is the last week of our last Sunday or last sermon of our discipleship sermon series. And our title this morning is simply Making Disciples or Reproducing Followers of Christ. And this is the end of this series. And we're hoping, our goal is that you will understand and know what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and what it takes and what the rewards, and also what there may be issues that come with being a disciple, but that's all right. And as we refresher, a disciple is a learner who follows a master teacher, and that is our Lord and Savior. You know, and we said that learning in Jesus' time was very relational, and it was very whole. It made people whole when they followed him. And it means much more than just the transfer of information. Me telling you this and Jesus telling you that. It referred to imitating our Lord's life, implementing his values, and reproducing his teachings. Christian discipleship, it's a relationship with Jesus, and it's about following them and adhering to his way of life. You know, after we accept the invitation to follow our Lord, we enter into, this is now, keep in mind, this is a lifelong journey and relationship with him. This goes on until the Lord calls us home. We're learning, we're growing, even failing, we're forgiving and loving on others as he taught us to love. And as you probably already know, this can be very hard at times. Very hard. And to be sure and to make no mistake about this, it's worth it all. And one of the greatest responsibilities and privileges of following Jesus. Let me say that again. One of the greatest responsibilities and privileges of following our Lord is sharing him with others. Folks, that is key. That's why we're here. And if we look at these scriptures in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, then you're going to see he gives very explicit and direct commands to us. You know, and it's Matthew wrote in Matthew 5:15, he said, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. The light of Christ, which every believer has, and the warmth of this blessed gospel is meant for everyone. Amen? No one gets left behind. No one, Jesus wants all of us. So in our main passage, it comes from Matthew 28, and you may have heard it called the Great Commission before. And I think Laura's already read it, so we won't read it again. We're just going to look at it. Now, this Great Commission, this is the final instruction given by our Lord to his disciples. And this is recorded in Matthew's gospel. It is a directive, and it serves as a roadmap for us, instructions for every believer every believer's journey. This is the roadmap for your journey in Christ. These, the Great Commission. It's not just a suggestion, folks. You know, when you feel good, if you have time to do it, or it's not optional, you know, for it is a divine mandate, a sacred duty that every believer is expected to carry out. When our Lord pulls us up out of the hole, out of the miry clay, he sets our feet on good solid ground. He's forgiven our sins and he's shown us a new way. He then wants us to follow him. And one of the great ways, the best ways that we can follow him is to share the gospel with everyone that we have a chance to. Now, the late Tim Keller said this, discipleship is not just an option. Jesus said that if anyone would come after me, he got to follow me. And following Jesus includes humble submission to his authority, his teaching. You see, when Christ says all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me, we are reminded that the mission we are called to undertake is not based on human authority. We didn't get this mandate from anyone on earth. This came from the Master himself, from Jesus. These instructions in Matthew 28:18-20 came directly from him, divine authority. And Jesus said this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You know, so we want to make sure that we understand that the authority and the power to carry this out comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He empowers us. He empowered his disciples to go forth and make disciples of all nations. So listen to me. If Christ has given us the green light to do this, then who in the world can hold us back? You see, making disciples is at the heart of the Great Commission. And that's why Jesus then says, go therefore, make disciples. But what does that look like? What does that mean to make disciples? You see, it's more than just converting people to Christianity. It's more than just beating someone over the head with a Bible and try to make them go to church. It involves nurturing them, teaching them, loving them, bringing them up in their faith, helping them to grow spiritually. And not only that, equipping them to live out their faith in their daily life. It's about reproducing folks, followers of Christ, who are committed to living according to our Lord's teachings and commands. One of the greatest problems that I see in the body of Christ today is we don't follow our Lord's teaching. We follow everyone else's teaching, but somehow or another, we seem to let Jesus' teaching go down the wayside. But I want to encourage you today to get in your Bible and learn more and more and more about the Lord. Learn, look at his teachings, look at his at the way he taught things. You see, so we need to do that so we can reproduce a Christian. You know? And like I said before, this is a lifelong journey. You don't just get this in 5 minutes. You just don't get it on Sunday. You don't get it on Wednesday or whatever. This is lifelong learning. Daily learning, loving, getting close to God. It's a full body, mind, and soul experience. And part of this, that great command, he says, go, he says, baptize. Baptism is another great aspect of the Great Commission. And it follows a command to go and make. Go and make. And baptism is a public declaration of our faith in Christ and a symbolic representation of the believer's identification with our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. So Jesus, he's showing us which way to go, folks. All we need to do is get behind him and follow him and listen to him. And when he tells us to go, then we go. You see, baptism is not just a ritual. It's a powerful act of obedience. And it signifies that a believer's commitment to follow Christ is real and wholeheartedly. And finally, There is a command to teach others to obey all that I have commanded. You see, folks, teaching is very important in the body of Christ. We're not just called to teach just a bunch of rules. We're called to teach people to obey everything that Christ has commanded. And this implies that our teaching should not be just about giving out knowledge, but about inspiring obedience and transformation. You see, it's about helping people understand the teachings of Christ and empowering them to apply these teachings in their everyday life. And you know what, folks? This task may sound giant and it may sound hard, but you know what? The good thing is we're not expected to carry out this out on our own. We don't have to do this on our own power. In fact, you can't do it on your own power. Jesus promised to be what? With us always, to the end of the age. What in the world are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? The promise of Christ assures us that we are not alone in our mission. Christ is with us every step of the way, guiding us, strengthening us, empowering us to fulfill our very calling. Everyone, every believer has a calling on his or her life. Every one of us. If you are a believer in Christ, the Lord is calling you or has called you to do something for his kingdom. He has. What you need to do if you don't listen to him. In your prayer time, in your quiet time, listen to him. Let me share with you a wonderful story, and I'll be as brief as I can about it, but it touched our heart, me and my wife's heart, so close the other night, and you may have seen this movie too. The movie is called Sound of Hope. Anybody ever heard of that? That movie's ring a bell, Sound of Hope. It wasn't what I thought. I thought I was going to sit in there. I thought it was a chick flick. I really did. And I just was going to sit in there and go to sleep. That was my plan. I said, okay, hon, I'll go with you. But boy, was I, oh my goodness. It was a movie about a small town in East Texas called Possum what? Possum Trot, Texas. You ever heard of that? Back in the 90s, this was an area that had a small African-American church there called Bennett Chapel. Bennett Chapel. And in this movie, there was a dear lady who had a vision. She had a vision about kids, taking care of kids that nobody wanted. So they got together. They prayed, a small church like this church. A small church, not very many people. They didn't have a lot of money. In fact, they were almost broke. But someone got a vision. They said, there are kids out here that need help. To make a long story short, folks, this church adopted now, kids, 77 kids, 22 families in that church adopted a total of 77 kids. And what's so special about this, these were not your normal everyday kids. Oh, no. These were kids who had been shipped from foster home to foster home. They were kids in homes where the parents had pimped them out as prostitutes. These were young babies. Babies that were being abused, were burnt by cigarettes and all the horrible things to think of that you could do to a child. That's what they did. And I got to tell you, the people that were in there, and I know it wasn't a dry eye with me, it wasn't a dry eye in that place because it was so moving. And the gist of this movie was this, and that pastor spoke at the end of it. He says, there are churches here. There are kids here that need help, but nobody wants to do anything. The state couldn't do anything. What I'm trying to tell you, folks, is the Lord has a calling on your life. And if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility to relieve some of the hurt and some of the anguish and some of the pain and some of the issues that have been plaguing this community, Kirby, San Antonio, Converse, or wherever, for years.
We can't do everything, but we can do something. Amen? We can. We can do something. And the good part about it is, it was so hard for them because a lot of them were poor. They didn't have anything. A lot of them were farmers, and they had very little. But God got in there, and he empowered each one of those people to stand with those kids. And those kids grew up to be productive citizens only because someone took the time to say, come on in, hon, I love you. I love you. You know, I know you've had a hard time, but I love you anyway. They didn't just kick them to the curb and kick them back out there into the street. What I'm trying to tell you folks is that being a disciple is hard, but being a disciple is what we have to be. We don't have a choice. Amen? We have to be a disciple. And Jesus is telling us, even right now, he's saying, Alamo United Methodist Church, 4071 North Foster Road, I see what you're doing in here. I see your love, but I want you to get out. I want you to get out of your seat, and I want you to, in your neighborhood, and I want you to share my love. Share how I love you at Alamo. Share how I have blessed your life at Alamo. Share that with your neighbor. Share that with that person that you might come in contact with. You may be the only Jesus that person ever sees. Be a disciple of Christ. Be his hands and feet, you know, and let him show you and guide you and walk with you. And understand this, as you go on your journey, you're going to learn and see that the battle is not in here. Everybody in here, we're all, you know, we know everything. You know, he can't teach us nothing in here. We already know it all. Amen? The battle is out there. That's where the battle is. That's where the pain and the hurt is. You know, I hear so much about how churches have hurt people, how they've turned them away and pushed them to the side because of this, because of that, and this. Jesus never, ever pushed it. Show me somewhere in the Bible where the Lord kicked anybody to the curb and told them to go away. What did he say? He said, come to me. He didn't say all the Jews, all the Christians, or all the black people, or all the white people. He said, come unto me, all. That means all of us, folks. We all have a responsibility, and we have, we must get out and do something for the Lord. We don't have a lot here at Alamo. When I say a lot, we don't have a lot of money and we don't have a lot of members, but we do have you. Amen? We got you and you and you and you. We got you. The Lord has all of you. Now you think about this for a minute. You go home and marinate on this. What if we all of us, got together and says, we're going to do something great for this community? I don't know what it is, but I bet some of you may know what it is. But the thing of it is, folks, when you walk with the Lord, when you're going to do something, and this is something that little church in Possum Trot, Texas, had to learn. They couldn't do it by themselves. They had to all go together. Our Lord, he doesn't want us to go by ourselves. He wants us to go together. Amen? He wants us to go together. One of the things that me and Tessie, when we first came here about, how long was it ago, hon? 7 years ago? One of the things that we saw here was that love. We saw lots of love in this. Lots of. You know, that we saw that and we were attracted to that. We saw a pastor who didn't care who you were or where you came from. He put his arms around. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of place that I want to be around. Amen? That's the place I want to be associated. I don't want to be somewhere where we're all kicking at each other and fighting and beckering and throwing rocks at each other. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And the Lord, I'm going to tell you something this, and I want you to, and you take this to heart. If you cannot be used by the Lord, if you cannot be used by the Lord, he's going to put you on the shelf. And when I say put you on the shelf, that means he's going to get somebody else to do it. Amen? Never, ever think, never think that God's work is going to stop because this stops or that stops. It will never stop. The Lord, if he's got a mission for Alamo, and he does, he's going to keep it going. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord that he's given us the spirit. He's given us the ability, and he's given us the skills and tools that we need to make a difference in this community. And I certainly believe that we can do that. And you know what, folks? It's not all about me. It's not about me. It's not about Tom. It's not about Gene. It's about Jesus. Amen? It's about Jesus. Jesus is our leader. We follow him. We follow him wherever he wants us to go. And being a disciple, that's what Jesus, the Great Commission. He wants you to go out there and teach folks and share with them and show them the right way to go. People used to tell me, this dear lady at a church I pastored in Clarksville, she'd say, "Pastor, we don't know because we haven't been taught. We don't know." We have to teach people, amen? They don't know because we don't teach them. And if we don't teach them, then guess what? Out yonder is going to teach them. You don't want what they're going to teach you. You don't want what they're going to teach you. As I close this morning, I want you to, in your heart, deep in your heart, reach down and say, "Lord, you know, this is what I here I am. Here I am. I don't have a clue as to what you want me to do. But Lord, I just want you to know that I am here and ready and able to go out and do whatever you want me to do." I told you that story about Possum Trot because you know what I thought about? You know what the church I thought about? I thought about Alamo. I did, because they were almost a spitting image of this dear church. They were looking for something to do for the Lord. They couldn't figure out which way to go. There were those inside the church that wanted to go here and there. But there was one that had a vision. That vision was for those children. And with that vision, the Lord did some mighty things in that community. May the Lord bless you and keep you this morning. May he hold you tight. And Lord, just wake us all up and shake us to the point where we have got to do something for the Lord. I can't just sit here and do nothing. We want to do something. Empower us, Jesus. Fill us with your spirit so that we may go out and be the disciples that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand with me, please? While the invitation goes out, before communion, I want you to do a little soul searching. And you can do it there or you can do it here at the altar. Look deep in your heart and ask the Holy Spirit to shine that light on you. Say, "Lord, what am I doing in my life that would prevent me from doing your will? What am I doing? What habits do I have? What sin am I involved in that's keeping me from doing what you want me to do?" The Lord has something for you, but it may be sin, may be standing in the way. Standing in the way to keep you from serving the Lord. And the altar is open for anyone who wishes to come. Jesus said in John, it says that we confess with our mouth. He says we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let this be a day. Let this be a morning. At 11:20 here in this sanctuary, be a day of cleansing for each and every one of us. The altar is open for anyone who wishes to come.
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on my way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
The Bible tells me so.
Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Lord, work on us as only you can. Work on our hearts and our minds. And Lord, prepare our hearts. Prepare us for your supper this morning, for your holy communion. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Page 12 in your hymnal is our communion liturgy. Page 12. Page 12, it begins with the invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another.
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbor.
Forgive us, we pray. Free us to joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Great Thanksgiving.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Thanks be to Christ, is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Communion stewards, would you come forward, please? We also have the Agape baskets here. This is our Sunday to take up an offering for the Agape ministry that we share in. This time, in the very back, in the back on this side, would you please, from the back, and if you would, come forward and just come to the rail. Back row only. We're going to do the back row. This is his body that was broken for you on the cross. Take and eat. remember what Jesus did for you. And this is his blood that was shed for you and for the world, for your sins. Take and drink all of them. Remember what the Lord did for you. Amen. At this time, after you have obeyed the Lord, you may return to your seats. We got a song for you this morning. Amen? When we all get to heaven. Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. And wait for us to play. We all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus and shout. Amen. Amen.
God bless y'all.
You may be seated. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sorry. You may be seated. You want to sing? We can sing another song if you want now.
To always be batting cleanup. But anyway, we missed a birthday, and that was our nation turned 248 this past week. And since the Lord's Prayer has been used earlier in the service, would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which thank you so much. And let us go forth and have a wonderful holiday, and that we have proven for 248 years the experiment of this nation's formation has proven itself worthy to stay alive and be productive. Let us keep praying for it, because prayers do the most good that anyone can. God be with you each. Have a careful holiday.
Our closing hymn is Precious Name.
If